The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
What's up, Grizz Nation? Welcome to the show. It is David and Isaac. We are back. This is Hoop Ball Grizz. And finally, for the first time in the history of ever, we actually get to talk about some news. We scheduled a show and we get some news that doesn't break after we record. It feels good. It's incredible. It seems like, especially in this offseason, we would record a podcast and then 45 minutes after I post the podcast or after we're done recording, boom, they drop something, you know, that they trade for somebody or they make a roster move. It's like, man, how unlucky can you get? But it worked out good today. Jaren Jackson Jr. has officially secured the bag. Should have happened a little while ago, in my opinion, but they were kind of waiting till the deadline. And I'm glad that they done it before, because I think that if they had waited until after this season, that he would have demanded significantly more money. Isaac, what do you think about it, man?
Yeah, man, I think it's a good deal. I actually thought it would take more than this. And a couple things on this. I think, first of all, I think it's fantastic to have two guys in Ja and Jaren that are going to be the cornerstones of your future. Two guys that you know want to be here. I don't think there's any question about their desires or what they want going forward. Ja and Jaren want to be here in Memphis. And I've talked so much about the relationship between Ja and Jaren. You know, we all know how close they are. And to make no mistake about it, Ja was watching this and how these negotiations went. And I'm not saying it would have gotten messy, but if you didn't get this deal done now, there's a possibility that you go into next offseason, Jaren could be a little pissed off because you didn't get it done last offseason. He's going to have teams that were going to be throwing back up the Brinks truck for him, no doubt about that. And things could have got a little dicey there. And you just don't want that, and you don't want Ja watching that when it's time, because he's up next and he's watching how this franchise is going to handle that. And I think it's great that they went ahead and got this done. It creates goodwill between your guys. Show that they're committed to Ja and Jaren, and these are you guys are the two guys that we're going to build around. And I think it was big to go ahead and get this done. And I'm actually kind of surprised because I didn't think they were going to do it. Because you see a situation out in Phoenix with DeAndre Ayton, part of the same draft class, that he did not get his done today, and he's not happy with the franchise, and that's going to be a distraction all season for them. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And once you don't get this done by the deadline, it's going to be something that you can't do anything about the next offseason. So I think it's really, really good to get this done. Now it's not going to be a cloud over the season or anything like that. All these guys got to do is go out and ball.
Yeah, it blows my mind. The Phoenix Suns, they paid Landry Shamet. And it's not like his was a massive deal or anything, but he has not officially played a game for them yet. Like, he's played preseason stuff, but he hasn't played a regular season game for the franchise, and they gave him a contract. Ayton was your number one pick, and he's produced. You know, I don't know. Man, I'd have to go back. Who did Ayton come out? Like, who was in his draft class?
I mean, he was in a class. He was in the same class with Jaren Jackson, Luka Doncic. He was in that draft.
Yeah. So, you know, you've got, I'm going to pull it up just so we can go through the names, but there's some guys that have outperformed DeAndre Ayton, but I think, like, he deserves the, like, he deserves what he's asking for, in my opinion. He was a cornerstone piece. He was a very important piece in their finals run last year. And for whatever reason, I don't know if we're going to pay him or not. Why? Like, what legitimate reason do you have that you're not going to pay this guy?
I was going to say, I've talked to some Phoenix guys today, some guys, some writers, some bloggers from there, and their kind of theory on it, they don't agree with it at all, which I don't know who would. And you talk about Landry Shamet getting that deal. If I'm DeAndre Ayton, I'm looking at that like, man, what the heck is going on? But they think that maybe Sarver and their front office kind of thinks a lot of this is CP3 produced. Like, if Chris Paul wasn't there, that he wouldn't have been the player that he was last year. And that's kind of, they're kind of nervous about that. But the thing about it is, next offseason, if somebody offers them a max deal, they're 100% going to match that. They're not going to let that guy walk. And it just doesn't make any sense. And that's kind of the same thing I'm saying about Jaren, because if you knew that he was going to be here, and the only thing you were going to do if you didn't get it done this offseason was cost yourself more money. And that's the thing about it doesn't make any sense, because I believe DeAndre Ayton is going to be a Phoenix Sun for a long time, but now it's going to cost him a lot more than it would have cost him if they had got it done today.
Yeah, like a 1,000,000%, man. Let's run through. I pulled up the draft, the first round, and I'm not going to run through the entire first round, but let's say Marvin Bagley, no. You know, Mo Bamba, no. Wendell Carter Jr., Colin Sexton, Kevin Knox, Miles Bridges, Jerome Robinson. So those are some of the names that were in this draft, and there's quite a few others. But, you know, on this list of guys that have outperformed Ayton, you're looking at Luka Doncic, Trae Young. You can maybe slightly argue SGA, maybe. But I mean, I still like, I prefer Ayton over him.
Mikal Bridges, just because he's a big. I mean, yeah, center, that size matters.
Bridges got paid. You know, like it doesn't make sense to me as to why they're not paying this guy his money. We don't have to worry about that. This is not a Suns podcast, but it's crazy to me. You know, you look at, you know, where you took him in the draft, the type of season that he had last year. Yeah, you can, you know, maybe credit some of that to the ability that Chris Paul has, but it's not like Ayton was lazy and not putting in the work. You know, he's putting in the work. His game is improving every year, and you're going to cost yourself money going into the next offseason. Somebody mentioned, I saw it, that they were going to go ahead and assume that they had somebody else in mind, not named DeAndre Ayton, to give that money to. I don't know who that's going to be, but it just seems wild to me that they would not pay him. And I think it affects them in the long run. You know, if I'm DeAndre Ayton in this situation, do I want to stay in Phoenix after they're not willing to pay me? Maybe they mend the fences between now and the offseason and they're able to get something done. But this may have done like unrepairable damage to the relationship. So, you know, you never know how a guy is going to react to a situation like this. And Lord knows you don't want a situation like the Kings have with Marvin Bagley. You know, and Bagley obviously is not produced like DeAndre Ayton has, but the relationship with Bagley and the Kings is shaky at best.
Yeah, and the reports say that DeAndre Ayton was highly upset with the organization this afternoon. And I mean, you're a team that just came off a finals appearance, and I mean, you thinking that you're going to try to get back there. This is going to be a big time distraction for them throughout the season. I mean, there's no way that he's just going to be a happy camper going into the season. And I mean, he's such a big part of that team. I mean, it's going to affect the whole team. And I don't get it, man. And just doesn't make any sense to me because I really do think that he's going to be there unless he decides to walk on his own. Cause I think if somebody offers him a max contract, I think they're going to try to match it. And it just doesn't make any sense. I've seen teams do this before, and you just end up costing yourself more money. And not only that, I think it could possibly derail their season. I mean, that this is going to be a distraction all year. It was the same thing in Memphis. I mean, I don't think Jaren Jackson would have caused a fuss, or been a malcontent in the locker room, anything like that. But people were going to talk about it. You're going to hear about it all year. Mm-hmm. If he's playing really well, the people are going to talk about, oh, well, you know, the Knicks are coming. You had already saw reports about that because his dad works for the team now, and that he's going to end up in New York. You're going to be hearing all this stuff all season. You just don't need that during the year. So, again, I'm glad this front office went ahead and got this done, man. I was kind of surprised to see that this morning because I didn't expect it to happen. It looked like they were going to go into next offseason with it, man. But I think they got a good deal. And again, because I look at the situation, 105, I think if it weren't for the injuries, I don't think there's any way that they get him for 105. I mean, there were people talking about 120, 125, and the max is like, I think, 180 for him. So it could have been a lot more. But he decided to go ahead and sign this deal. I was talking to, I think, Mark Giannotto, the commercial appeal. I heard him talking earlier today, and he said if he was Jared, he wouldn't have signed that deal. I mean, he thinks that he could have held out for more. And I think, again, that shows you that he wants to be here. I mean, I think he went inside the deal. And again, I mean, it's a risk. I mean, because we know the injury history he's had. I mean, it's a risk for the Grizzlies. But I think that also shows the commitment to him. And again, I mean, I think it's really, really good. And I think it jives. You saw him tweeting out today. He's excited about his buddy getting the deal, man. He's up next, man. Got that Brinks truck. I think we're looking at $200 million for Ja next off season. Right? That's going to happen.
So it's going to be big money for sure.
So you're also not going to have two max guys on your books now, and I think that's important as well, for especially for a small market team.
Yeah, so 4 years, $105 million. My absolute favorite part of the contract is its descending value. And so what does that do? What does that mean, right? It means that as Jaren continues to move toward his prime, the Grizzlies are going to be paying him less
money.
and that is great for championship aspirations, because you're going to have salary cap in order to go out and get the pieces you need to push you over the top, whether it's another star or it's a fantastic role player, whatever the case may be, you're going to have that money. And the Grizzlies done a great job in structuring this contract to where, as Jaren continues to ascend, his contract is descending. So they're going to have a little more wiggle room with it. And that's huge on the front that, you know, you just mentioned, they're probably going to be paying Ja $200 million, you know, next season. You have to do that with a small market team. And Kleiman has done a great job. The JV contract was the same way. The big money was the first year of the contract. It was descending after that. That's why that contract was easy to move. So I'm completely happy with it. I got some guys here that I want to talk about, like guys that got paid, and kind of compare them. John Collins is one, and I think John Collins was the high end. His deal was a 5-year, $125 million, which it turns out that the annual is about the same between the two. But John Collins has outperformed Jaren Jackson Jr. statistically in his career. He's played in significantly more games. John Collins has played in 239 games. Jaren Jackson has played in 126. And so, you know, Collins has an extra year, but still, you know, Jaren, his max amount of games played is 58 in his rookie season. He goes 58, 57. And then, you know, last year, of course, he missed the majority of the season. And then you got a guy like Jonathan Isaac that his contract was less than Jaren, but the amount of games played is very similar. Jaren has statistically outperformed him. So to me, they got the middle ground. Isaac's was, I think, 4 years, $70 million or something around that nature. So, you know, Jaren is in between Collins and Isaac, and I think that's really where he needs to be. Another guy, Mikal Bridges, he got a 4-year, $90 million deal. Not the same position. Mikal Bridges is going to be a good/great role player throughout his career. I do not believe that Mikal Bridges has the type of star power that Jaren Jackson has. And that's just, you know, Bridges got a 4-year, $90 million deal. So if you want to argue with me and say the Grizzlies overpaid for a guy that has missed some games, and you want to be concerned because of his injury history, I will completely listen to your side of the argument. And I don't disagree with that. I understand you having concerns about those things, but look at the statistics with what Jaren Jackson has done when he's been healthy. I've got some numbers here, and I shared it on Twitter earlier, but I want to talk about it again here on the show. Jonas Nader, he shared these on a podcast with Dan Bespris. Shout out to Fantasy NBA Today. If you are a fantasy basketball player and you're not listening to Dan's show, you should definitely go and check that out. He's one of the best in the business, and he has the best guest out of anybody. Just good work from Dan. And if you want to win your fantasy league, go and check his podcast out. That's Fantasy NBA Today. But Jonas Nader on Dan's podcast, Jaren's age 20 season. Let me back up. I'm messing it up already. Two players in the history of the league have averaged 17 plus points, 2.5 plus threes, 1.6 blocks, and 45% from the field in a season. One of those guys is Jaren Jackson Jr. in his age 20 season. The other guy is Kevin Durant in his age 29 season. So I'm not even going to do my normal disclaimer. If you want to claim that I'm calling Jaren the next coming of Kevin Durant, I really don't give a flip. Stats are stats. Like that's exactly what it is. And if you want to talk about more stats, look at the numbers comparatively between Dirk's year 20 season and Giannis's year 20 season, and to what Jaren Dunn in his year 20 season. He is, his numbers are significantly better than two of the best players to ever play the game, you know, and I'm comfortable saying that about Giannis right now, because I don't know that we've actually seen the best of Giannis. They won the title last year, but I think that his resume already solidifies him as one of the best to ever play the game. And I'm not saying that, you know, like he is GOAT talk. He's not that, but he's, you know, he's in the top 50, top 75, maybe lower than that at this point for me.
Yeah, man. And to those that are concerned about the injury stuff, I get it. Like, I understand it's definitely a risk that the Grizzlies are taking, but I think you have to look at it like this. If they don't retain Jaren Jackson Jr. in a small market, you're not, with that money, they're not going to go out and sign a guy that could be potentially what Jaren is. I mean, it's just not going to happen. I mean, I know we say about the free agency, they just have no history of going to small market teams, a guy of that level. I mean, you either going to have to draft your guys like Jaren or get them in a trade. I mean, they're not – with that type of money, with the money that they're giving Jaren, they're not going to not retain him and go out and sign somebody else that's going to be – have that same type of production. I mean, and that's just the bottom line. I mean, you pretty much – you have to do it. You can't let a young guy with that potential go. Like, I don't understand what these people are thinking. Who do you think they're going to go out and replace him with if they didn't resign him? So, I mean, it's something that they need to do. They did it.
And again, DeAndre Ayton, man. DeAndre,
yeah. Yeah. But I mean, you—it's like your franchise player in Ja. I mean, that's his best friend. I mean, if Jaren's not happy, Ja's not going to be happy, and you could be potentially messing this up if you don't bring him back. So again, I think it's tremendous, and I've talked all summer. I think he's going to have a tremendous year. I put out on Twitter right before we came on here that I'm looking at 20 points is. Previous highest average was 17.4. I want 20 points from him, 7 rebounds, which he averaged 7.3 rebounds throughout the preseason. I know it's preseason, but he looked good rebounding the basketball. 2 blocks and 40% from 3. And I don't think that's a lot to ask, because, I mean, he hasn't been far off those numbers. I think the highest he ever did in rebound was 5.6, and that was actually last year. So it's a pretty significant jump there, but you're only talking a little bit over 2 points. He averaged 39.4% from 3 on 6.5 attempts in 19-20, so 40%. I mean, he's been pretty much right there. So 27, 2 blocks, and 40% from 3 is kind of where I would like to see him. Now, the big thing is staying on the floor. I'm not just talking about injury-wise, but fouling-wise, which he did a good job of that in the preseason. And hopefully that's something that carries over to the season, because we all know that's been an issue with him. But if he can clean that up, I think he could easily average those numbers, because, again, this coaching staff and this front office is cleared the way for him to succeed. I mean, we go back to the Jonas thing. I mean, part of that was contract him not being a long-term piece for his team, but a lot of that had to do with clearing away from Jaren and kind of moving this into the direction of the vision that Taylor Jenkins and how he really wants to play with his team, opening up space in the lane. So they're going to give him every opportunity to succeed. And if he's on the floor, I think he could easily average 20.7 rebounds, 2 blocks, and 40% from 3. I don't think that's crazy at all.
No, not at all. Here's a good number, another stat. I've been kind of throwing stats out there, but I've got another one. So Jaren's first 2 years in the preseason, he was at 20 minutes and 24 minutes, year one, 20, year two, 24 minutes. He was averaging basically 4.5 personal fouls in 20 and 24 minutes. This year, he was at 27 minutes a game in the preseason, 3.3. That's huge. That is one of his two of the things that you have arguments about with Jaren Jackson are his rebounding and then staying in foul trouble. And in the preseason, he was able to do both of those things, staying out of foul trouble and rebounding the basketball. He was able to do both of those things at an extremely high level. And there were some of his defensive plays just blow my mind, man. The level of athleticism, the ability to not only block the shot, but then kind of hurdle a guy to go and hustle and get the ball. And then after he gets the ball, he's got the ability to bring it up the floor. So it's there's just a ton of upside in that skill set. And so, again, if you want to be concerned about the injuries, I understand, and I don't disagree with you. Those are fine to be concerned about. But he didn't get this contract because of what he's done. He got this contract because of what he's capable of. And in a small market, you have to do that. It's unfortunate at times, and it will backfire. In some cases, it will backfire on you. I don't know that that's going to be the case with Jaren. I have faith that that's not going to be the case with Jaren, but I'm definitely not mad at this contract.
Yeah, I mean, it's a no-brainer. I mean, they had to do it. Just like you mentioned there, I mean, in a small market, I mean, your opportunities to get a player that I believe that Jaren could potentially be, you're just not going to have the opportunities often unless you just get lucky in the draft or you make a trade and a guy ends up taking off. You're just not going to have that opportunity. So when you have a guy on your roster like that, especially at his age, man, you got to go ahead and lock him up. And again, it's just the price of doing business, man. I know these contracts sound like a lot of money, but if Jaren is healthy and with the declining, the way the contract goes down year after year, you can look up three or four years and like, man, how did we get this guy on this deal? This could be a bargain by the time we get to year three or four. And I'm betting on that's the case. I think there's a better chance of that being the case than the opposite. Because again, if he's healthy, I really don't see any way that he is not an all-star level big time player. You just don't see guys at his size that can do the things he can do, the way he can put the ball on the floor, he can shoot threes, he can go inside, he can block shots. I mean, they call him a unicorn for a reason, man. You just don't see it. A guy 7 foot tall that can do things like that. So again, man, I'm glad that he's going to be here. And I think it makes Ja Morant happy. And when Ja Morant is happy. I think that bodes well for this franchise going forward.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull up Jaren's bubble stats here just to kind of talk about those. Because I think that's a great example of what he's capable of. You look at the games that he played in the bubble, and I'm pulling it up. I apologize. I don't have it ready. But just insane numbers. And just like you said, you're not going to go out and get a guy. I joked about DeAndre Ayton. But let's be honest. In a small market, most of these, like the high quality, the big name free agents, are not likely to come to small market. You do have something. The Grizzlies do have something that is a draw for those guys, and that is Ja Morant. So we may see guys that wouldn't normally take a look at Memphis be willing to come to Memphis because Ja Morant and the level of talent that he is. But Jaren Jackson, when he was healthy in the bubble before his injury, 25.3 points, 2.7 rebounds, which is not good, but 1.7 blocks. He was 48% from the field, shot a high volume of threes at 37%, 80% from the free throw line on high volume. Just crazy, crazy good, all-star level good in the bubble. And if we get that on a night-in, night-out basis as Grizzlies fans, I know that we're going to be happy. But as the Grizzlies as a franchise, if you get those, you would love to see the rebound numbers higher than that 2.7. And I think that you will see that without JV here clogging up the paint. Jaren's going to be a little bit closer to the basket to get rebounds. And so I think that you will just naturally see that number go up. But I really think, you know, to say the sky is the limit, I don't think that that's giving him enough credit.
I mean, I hate to keep going back to preseason because I know preseason is preseason, but you just watched that game against the Bulls. I mean, he came out early, just absolutely in his bag. I mean, on both ends of the floor. I mean, he's blocking shots, changing ends, going down, getting baskets at the bucket. I mean, hitting step back threes. I mean, he looks healthy. He looks confident. And you can just see that he's ready to take that next step. I mean, like, these weren't just regular 3-point shots. I mean, he was crossing guys over, stepping back, shooting threes. I mean, he was shooting with confidence, 7 of 12 from three in the game against the Bulls. 29 points, 7 rebounds. But yeah, two assists in 29. And this was only in 29 minutes, 10 of 18 from the floor, 2 of 2 from the free throw line. I mean, he looked like an all-star level player in that game. And again, I know it's preseason, but I think we're going to see games like that all throughout the season. I mean, I just think he's going to have a big year. JV's not there again to clog the lane up. I think that's going to lead to more rebounding opportunities for him. I think we'll see him average 6 to 7 rebounds per game. And that would be a career high. Because again, I think last year 5.6 was a career high, but that was only like 11 to 12 games. But I think you're going to see that number go up. If he stays on the floor, man, again, the sky's the limit. Again, I agree with you. I think you can even go north of that. I just don't see any way if he's healthy that he doesn't become a big time player. You just don't again, see guys at that size that can do the things he does. I mean, it's just ridiculous how talented he is. And I think we're going to see it all come together this year.
Yeah. Yep. I agree with you, man. And not only do I agree with you, but the GMs in the NBA voted him most likely to break out this year. And so, you know, these are guys that are getting paid to evaluate talent and to run teams. And like they all voted, like he was the leading vote getter from the NBA GMs as players to break out this year. So I'm excited. We are 2 days away. The first matchup, first regular season matchup is Wednesday at home at the FedEx Forum against the Cleveland Cavaliers. I tell you what, man, the thing that I'm ready to see in this game is an Evan Mobley versus Jaren Jackson Jr. matchup, man. You know, Evan Mobley is, he's a pretty mobile big man himself. I'm interested to see how he's going to be able to do trying to guard Jaren Jackson. I don't think that Jared Allen wants any of the smoke. I think Jared Allen gets exposed inside in the post. Jared Allen can, I think that he could, you know, he's a pretty good defender, but like outside perimeter, I don't think he wants any of it. So that's going to be one of the biggest things that I'm watching. Desmond Bane has been fantastic. And I know that we gassed him up on the last episode, but there have been talks from the Grizzlies about internal growth that they expect this year from guys like Melton and Bane. And they feel like that's going to be enough to take the Grizzlies not only to where they were last year, but maybe even, you know, higher than that. And I got to tell you, man, I'm on board with it after the way Desmond has played in the preseason. And I don't want to beat on this too much, 'cause like I said, we talked about this at length on the last episode, but man, we're about to see regular season. It's unfortunate that Dylan is not healthy, but we're going to get a good look at Melton and Bane to really see where they're going to go for the starter and who's coming off of the bench.
Yeah. I mean, with Dylan out, it's going to be interesting. Again, Desmond Bane had a fantastic summer. We all know what he did in summer league, playing on the ball. Again, he talked about wanting to be able to do more creating for himself. And we saw that throughout the summer league and in the preseason. I mean, he had a tremendous summer. We don't see if that's going to carry over into the regular season. And with Melton, we've seen him be fantastic, and we've seen him really struggle. The thing with him is consistency. When he's doing it on both ends of the floor, he looks like a guy that can start in this league. And then other times, he just kind of disappears. He had a pretty good preseason, and can he carry that momentum into the season, and can he be consistent? Because I think without Dylan, obviously, he's going to get major minutes. Could he end up starting now in the game against the Bulls? Prior to that game, Taylor Jenkins did say he was going to kind of run regular season rotation, but Kyle Anderson got to start in that game along with Bane. Melton came off the bench. But that's going to be interesting to watch on Wednesday night. That's one thing that is he going to Bane and is he going to go with Bane and Melton? I think that's going to be interesting to watch. He's going to go with Bane and Melton out the bench, but we'll see how that plays out. But those are two guys definitely that I'm going to be watching closely. And you talk about Evan Mobley. Obviously, he didn't get a lot of love for Rookie of the Year, but in a GM survey, I think they had a question, who do they think is going to be the best player out of this draft 4 or 5 years out of line? And they voted Evan Mobley as the guy that's going to be the best player. I was kind of surprised by that. When you look at the talent of Green and Cunningham, that kind of surprised me. But there's a lot of believers in him. And I think and the reason why it is kind of what we talked about with Jared and the size, I think, and what he could potentially be able to do with that size, I think, can kind of trump what a guard can do. And I think that's kind of why some people think that. But that's going to be an interesting matchup. I really am excited to see both of them kind of mobile bigs. Jared's been around for a while. Can see if he can school the Rook out there a little bit on Wednesday night. But that should be a fun one. I'll definitely be watching that matchup.
Yeah, yep. I'm going to be at the game. I didn't want to miss the home opener. That, you know, it just the atmosphere at the home opener always seems to be great, man. I've made it to a few home openers now, and outside of playoffs, I think that the energy level for that home opener is as high as it pretty much is the entire season. So I can't wait. Can't wait to see, you know, Ja has shown some great things in his ability to pull up off of the bounce, just fluid.
Man, it just makes it look so easy out there, man. preseason. Yeah. He's just like towing with guys now. Like not even he's not even going. You can tell like he's not even. And I talk about it, it's weird to say this because I talk about how aggressive he was in the preseason, but even in saying that, it looks like he's not even giving 100% effort, and he's like killing it out there. It's scary how good he can be. The way that the change of speeds that he does when he's getting into the paint and get to the basket. I mean, it's scary, man. With him and Ja, we've talked about this a lot, but Ja and Jaren reaching their ceiling, man. Those are championship level pieces that they both get to the peak of their ceilings. I mean, it's scary how good this team could be. I mean, you have your two pieces there. You can just fill guys in without them around them. If they reach their ceiling, those two guys there, I think, are good enough to get you in a championship conversation down the line.
Yeah. Yep. That's, you know, it, and that's an if. It's a big if.
It's an if, yeah.
Know. But, you know, like just the way
I feel good about it right now, though.
I've been improving. Yeah, man. And that's. It's so crazy. I'm heading into the Ja Morant, Zion, and RJ Barrett draft. I went on record to say that I thought that RJ Barrett was going to end up having the best career of the three. And, you know, I obviously with Ja coming to the Grizzlies, I hope that I'm wrong in that aspect. But the Grizzlies and the Knicks seem to be looking better and better with the way that draft fell because RJ Barrett – had a solid season last year and he's poised to have another good season. And then obviously we get to watch Ja Morant night in and night out. And there are all-star expectations on him this year. So, you know, it's unfortunate. I don't want to see anybody have to deal with the injuries and stuff that Zion's had to deal with, you know,
yeah, whether
that is, you know, I don't know where you point the blame. I don't follow the Pelicans enough to be like, you know, this is the training staff or this is Zion or this is whoever. I don't know. I couldn't tell you, but I hate to see that for anybody. And, you know, it just makes me happy that the Grizzlies fell to number two, you know, when they, I guess kind of, they won the lottery getting up that high, but whenever it came down to them for one or two, I'm just like, come on one. And yeah. Now I'm glad that it worked out the way that it did because, you know, I do not think, matter of fact, I know that they wouldn't be in the position that they're in had it went the other direction.
No, I think we'd be in a completely different spot right now if they had got number one and drafted Zion. And again, I know this is not a Pelicans podcast, but the Zion stuff is, if you're a Pelicans fan, man, that's scary. I mean, you already had to talk that he doesn't really want to be there. His family doesn't like it there. You got all that stuff. And now, just currently, you're dealing with injury stuff. You're saying he's going to be reevaluated in a couple of weeks, and that's just not what you want to hear coming into the season, especially for a guy that's struggled with weight issues and he's coming to camp out of shape and now he's going to be out. He's not going to be playing. I mean, that's rough, man. I don't envy Pelicans fans with that situation, man. I mean, he's super talented, but with him, I just think you just have to worry about this stuff year in and year out, where he's going to be in shape, or how he's going to come into camp. I mean, a guy being in that size, playing the way he does, it's bad on your knees. It's just, we'll see. We'll see how that plays out. But, again, I think the Grizzlies kind of lucked out there and get the number two pick. And you talk about RJ Barrett, didn't have the greatest rookie year, but really, really took a step forward the second year. And I think Knicks fans are probably happy with his trajectory now. They weren't happy after his rookie season, but he looks like he's going to be a big-time player in this league as well. So, I think I agree with you. I think the Grizzlies and Knicks right now feel pretty good at how things took out. I think on that night, we were probably all a little bit disappointed because Zion was supposed to be sitting next to LeBron. This is a generational talent that we haven't seen this. He's a unicorn, blah, blah, blah. And you look a few years down the line, man, and I feel really good about the Grizzlies, this franchise, and Ja Morant. So I think it worked out.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think that you have to credit the coaching staff in New York that, you know, his rookie year wasn't a great situation. And then the Knicks went out and got Thibodeau. And they done a great job of getting RJ Barrett some catch and shoot looks. And that's stuff that he wasn't getting in his rookie year. So you saw his field goal percentage increase. You saw points per game increase. You saw his free throw percentage increase. And I think a lot of that is just because the situation improved significantly. And it's a blessing for the Grizzlies to have found the gem that they found in Taylor Jenkins, this coaching staff developing talent, the stuff that they've done. It's, I don't think people appreciate it enough.
Yeah. One interesting thing from Friday. I mentioned this earlier that Taylor Jenkins said that he was going to pretty much run regular season rotations in the game against the Bulls. And you asked me this question earlier in the offseason, or not early in the offseason, but maybe a few weeks ago here on the Hoopball Grizz podcast about Zaire Williams and did I think he was going to be a part of the rotation. And you look at this game, and they ran regular season rotations, and Zaire Williams played 21 minutes in this game. So it's kind of looking like that. I think the Zaire Williams is probably going to be in this rotation to start the season. I think they're looking at it like it's a top 10 pick. And we've talked about this before, but this front office, I'm not going to say they don't care how many games they win or whether they make the playoffs, but they're still – the main thing for them is still development, and I think they want Zaire Williams to develop, and they're going to give him playing time to develop. I think he's going to be in the rotation come Wednesday night.
You want me to tell you what just – I didn't really have any doubts about that, you know, in the comments that you made that they're focused on development. But the thing that absolutely solidified that for me going into this season – was the Chris Dunn thing.
Yeah.
You know, yep. If you're looking at getting the most possible wins,
you go with the veteran.
A healthy Chris Dunn is more valuable to this team than Jarrett Culver. You can maybe make the argument of Sam Merrill, but he's not going to be a rotation guy anyway. Like, Chris Dunn could have been in this rotation and he could have helped this team win games if he was healthy. He's had a lot of health issues, struggled with it, you know, mightily over the last few years, but I think that just goes to show you that youth is of importance and development is of importance. Obviously they want to try and win, but you know, winning the most games possible is versus, not necessarily their goal, you know, like,
yeah.
And that's just, you know, is winning the most games possible, having Zaire Williams in the rotation starting off. No, it's honestly probably not, you know, you need him to develop. And that's what they're going to focus on. And I love it, man. I love it. I want to see what this kid can do. I was talking with some buddies earlier, and they're like, who do you think is most likely to get traded this season? And not necessarily Grizzlies in general, but overall in the NBA. And, you know, people were throwing out different names, Marvin Bagley and whatever. And the name that I threw out was Kyle Anderson.
Yep.
And they're like, you really think that they're going to trade him? And I'm like, he is in a contract year, and they've got to make a decision. Is he going to be a part of this future or not? And Kyle has been phenomenal for this team. But I said, I think Kyle Anderson is the guy, but internal growth has to happen first, and not internal growth in terms of Kyle Anderson, internal growth from guys like Zaire Williams, Desmond Bain, De'Anthony Melton. You see those guys, as their floor begins to raise, then Kyle becomes less valuable to the team. And man, I hope that you guys don't take that as me bashing Kyle Anderson, because I cannot give him enough praise for what he's meant to this team and his ability to guard so many positions so fluidly. Like, he brings a lot of value to this team. But if Zaire Williams goes out here and he's doing the things in his first year at a level that's close to what Kyle Anderson's doing, Kyle Anderson's dispensable.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't bring Zaire Williams in here. They didn't use a top 10 pick on him to be a role player. They think this guy has tremendous talent and he could possibly be a number three, number four on his team. And again, Kyle is just kind of the guy that kind of stands in the way of that. And you talk about Melton and Bain, is when these guys get better and better, you have, and Kyle, not saying he's old, but he's older than most of the guys on his team. And you kind of going with this youth movement, younger guys, and you have these guys developing, he's just kind of the odd man out. And that's coming from a guy I absolutely love. Kyle Anderson, wouldn't mind if they extended him, and he's here for a lifetime contract. I love what he's done, love what he's brought to this franchise over the last couple of years, but you just know how this front office thinks. If you watch it and view how they move, that would be the name that jumps out at you. I mean, it just makes sense. I understand what they're trying to do, and it's just a logical move, and it does not a slight on Kyle at all. I mean, because I absolutely love what Slow Mo brings to this team, but I just think you drop a guy top 10, man, you're going to want to give that guy every opportunity to play. And they're kind of both big wings, and he's kind of the guy that's just right there in front of him. So we'll see how that plays out, but it definitely wouldn't surprise me if they did move him. And you kind of go back to the guys that they kept on the roster. I think one reason why they kept Jarrett Culver on the roster is because of the contract. He's a $6-plus million expiring contract, which can be valuable. You talk about him, you talk about Kyle. I mean, that's 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That's like $14-15 million in expiring contract that you could kind of add to a deal at the deadline, which is, and they have all kind of draft picks, all kind of second round picks. So they have ammo to go out and make a move. And I think we are going to see some type of move this season. I don't know if it's going to be huge move where you're bringing in a big time player, but I think you can see a semi significant move. I think we're going to see that at the deadline this season.
I'm picking up the phone and calling Charlotte. They didn't extend him, bro. They didn't extend him. I'm calling Charlotte. Hey, I see that you didn't extend Bridges.
Yeah.
How would you like some expiring contracts and picks? You know, like, I'm serious.
I love it. Love
that
it.
Would be, you know, the chemistry is going to be there.
Y'all would hear with Jared, Jaren
and Tillman at Michigan State. And he, if he takes a leap this year, he played well. Toward the end of last season, he was playing very, very well.
Oh, man.
Chemistry, like, the stuff that him and LaMelo Ball were doing together.
You think about that with him and John, man. Oh man.
Yeah, like, it's sign me up for it. I, you know, it's just speculation. We're just kind of wishful thinking there. But
and you think about that, you know, so you think about the chemistry when he's already one of Jared's best friends, played with Tillman. Mm-hmm. And if he's that good of friends with Jared, I'm sure him and John will probably come club. I mean, that would be a group right there, man. That would be fun to watch, man. Some of those dunks that he throws out, man, that would be fun to watch at FedEx Forum, man, with John Morant. It is crazy to think you go back to the Core Four era and how, like, low gravity this team was. You weren't seeing anybody dunking on anybody, getting up and dunking. Now it's like a completely different situation, man. It's so fun to watch. Not that it was fun, because at the time I enjoyed it. I mean, it was a different style of basketball. Man, these young guys out there dunking, shooting threes, and all this stuff that we didn't see back during the Core Four era. But then if you get Bridges in here, man, that would be fun. Again, we're just spitballing, but it would make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, this one is far less likely, but, you know, Phoenix and Ayton, you know, you didn't sign him. Hey, we've got stuff that we can throw at you. I've said all along, I don't know that Jaren, you know, I think the Grizzlies' plan is for him to be the long-term five, but I think that he's better as a four. And, you know, you get a guy, and they may have that guy may already be on the team in Xavier Tillman or Santi Aldama. But, you know, they have, like you said, they've got plenty of They have plenty of ammunition to fire at these teams that are not offering contract extensions to these guys. So we'll see what happens. I'm with you on the slow-mo thing. If they extend him, that will make me happy. If they don't extend him, you know, I'm going to hate to see him go, because I do like Kyle, but, like, it's logical. So it makes plenty of sense. I don't even know how long we're going, man. This one just seemed to be flowing. I'm going to get our sponsor plug in right here, mybookie.ag. Still running that promo code HoopBall over there. Go over and sign up, and they will match your initial deposit 50% up to $1,000. And they give away money. They just had an odds boost bet for hockey, and it was in the Kraken game, the Seattle Kraken game. Somebody scores a goal, you win. You know, they max it out because they don't want to give away all their money. But it's not – there's no stipulations, no nothing like that. They have these odds boost, and it's like a lock to win. You bet $25, you win $25. You can pull $50 right back out after you win it. MyBookie.ag, best online sportsbook out there. More lines, better odds than anywhere for the players. Go check them out. When you sign up, use our promo code HoopBall. Let them know that we sent you. And we'd appreciate it. Isaac, do you got anything else before we get out of here, man?
Yeah, man. Before we get out of here, real quick, man, shout out to my guy, man. NBA champion, preseason Grizzlies legend, Sam Merrill, man. 30 points, 8 of 13 from three against the Pacers. They did lose the game, but, I mean, a fantastic showing for him. And I think he won himself a roster spot with that game. I mean, you just don't usually see, even in preseason, like, Fred's guys go out there, go out for 30 points, 8 of 13 from three. So I think he really showed this team. He was out for most of the preseason, but came out, man, and really had a fantastic game. I mean, he showed his shooting ability. And I said that when they got him. A lot of people were like, oh, he's not going to make this roster. I was like, man, if he can't do anything, he can shoot the basketball. I mean, I watched him in college at Utah State. I mean, the kid can really fill it up. And I think we saw it in the game against Indiana. So I'm glad he has a shot. I think he could have a similar trajectory to kind of what we saw with Grayson Allen. When Grayson came in here, Grayson was kind of a guy that lot of people thought was on his way out of the league and really kind of revitalized himself and became a real player in this team now with the Milwaukee Bucks. And shout out to him.
Earned himself a contract, man.
Yeah, earned himself a contract for sure. I mean, and again, that just goes to this stuff to this coaching staff and Taylor Jenkins and the development. Both struggling tonight. Development mental aspect of this coaching staff and what they've done with guys. I think Sam Merrill's in a good spot. And I think we can look up a couple years down the line. He's the guy that can be in your rotation because he can really knock down shots. And anytime you can shoot the basketball the way he can, you have a spot in this league.
Yes, sir, for sure. So we're going to go ahead and get out of here. We will not be back with a post game on Wednesday. We may try and get something in Thursday after the game to kind of give you a rundown of it. I will be at the game. And so trying to record when I go to a game after is really, really tough. It would be late before we got it out. So maybe we'll try to get together Thursday and hit a post game after the season opener. But if not, they play again on Saturday, and we will have a post game. Even if I got a row solo, we're going to have a post game Saturday. I know Isaac is crazy busy right now. He's mid-season of the Tigers football.
Yeah,
Tigers
crazy,
basketball
man.
Is getting closer and closer to tipping off. He's just a busy man. He's out there grinding. I appreciate it. Salute, respect. All of those things. You can get me on Twitter at DWill2111. The show is at Hoopball Grizz. Isaac, let them know where they can find you. And hey, plug your Tigers podcast here. If you're listening to this one and you're a Memphis fan and you're not listening to Isaac's Tigers podcast, you're missing out.
Yeah, man, for sure. It's called the Tigers Den podcast, and you can find it on Spotify, iTunes, and the TuneIn Radio app. Again, just go over and search the Tigers Den podcast, and you can find it on there. And, man, I'm good to go, man. We'll be back Thursday, preview the road trip. I got some thoughts on that. I think it looks tough on paper, but I kind of got some thoughts where it might not be as tough as it seems. But, again, you can find me on Twitter at Isaac_Rivals, ISAAC_Rivals, man. Get us on that football quiz. Give us a follow. We appreciate that. And until next time, we go.
This has been a Hoop Bowl presentation.